I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we continue with Our American Stories. Our next story comes to us from a mother of two living in Virginia, but it begins far from there. Let's take a listen.
I am Miriam Ibrahim. I was born on November 3rd, 1987, in a refugee camp in the city of Gedaref from Sudan. My mother fled war from Ethiopia when she was 10 years old with her sister. They lost all of their families and they are the only survived members of the family. And they settled in a refugees camp. When my mom was 16, she met with my father and they got married. My father originally from Darfur. The background of the story is that he killed a man from a different tribe. The man is an honor killing because the man is in a relationship with my aunt, my father's younger sister. So when my father find out about them, they meet and know each other. So he gets so angry and he went on and killed the man. And when he came to this faraway area just to hide because the other family are seeking revenge. So that's why he met with my mom. Later, after my youngest sister was born, the situation get really very bad. I remember lots of the fight where she'd been beaten, and when we came, my brother and I went in the middle to stop the fighting. We beaten also. So he left and they got divorced. We decided to move from the refugees camp. I always have many questions about my father's family. When we moved to that place, she had to change our last name and everything. Because I didn't know this until later on the time. That's what I always question her, like, why you don't want us to know my daddy's family? Why you don't want us to be connected to them? So she done that actually for our protection. Yeah. So we moved to that city and it's actually a lot of Muslim groups in that area. So I have my youngest brother, his name is Hassan, and the youngest sister. So my brother was totally different than my mom and I because he's extreme Muslim. And then when we moved to the big city, he really fell to the trap of the imams. My mom was really upset for him. Like if she ever tried like to stop him or do, she would get killed. So she tried her best to convince him. I did try my best, but he didn't help. So in Sudan and many Muslim countries, all students, no matter what your religion, you have to pass those four subjects: Arabic, English, Math, and Islamic study. Islamic study include study Aqida, Quran, and Sunnah. Quran, you study Quran, full Quran, okay? You memorize the scripture. Sunnah about the life of Muhammad. And then Aqida about the life of the Sahaba and how you're supposed to do married in business. And they have a structure for everything you do. Even the way like use the bathroom, marriage, the way you communicate with unbeliever, the way you do a war, the way you do business with bank account, managing money, everything. So we have to do that. Like I have all the knowledge about Quran. And then in that situation, I was targeted by my teachers because we are Christian and I'm sitting next to Muslim student and you hear the teacher, you know, say it louder and you have to repeat after her the verses that are saying how to treat the unbeliever and how God will punish them and how they are bad they are, you know, how they go to hell. And I was like, I don't want to repeat after her. So they start like talking to me. No, you have to follow this, you have to say this because Allah said and Muhammad said, and I just don't want it. Like, I don't want it. The same time, when I come home, I tell my mom that, oh no, don't do that. They're gonna kill you. That's what my mom will say. And I'm like, I have seen these people always respond to the aggressive behavior of imams and Muslims and leaders. The response from the religious minority is that we got to do what they want to be in peace. I'm like, that isn't peace, that's weakness. And I always argue with them. So close to my graduation, I lost my sister first. And then a few months later, my mom passed away. She had a restaurant on the highway between the city of Galabat border and Gedarif. And one of the things she does, she helps. There's a lot of human trafficking, smuggling in that area. And one of the things my mom did is when those smugglers bring in those girls, she questioned them. She sees them like 9, 10 years old. So when she questioned them, she offered them help if you needed help. So, and she went on and report that. But the corrupt officers went on and told the smuggler, this woman, you have to be careful about this woman because she start talking to the girls you guys bring in. Girls and boys. So I get to know her. She was not, it was an accident as I was told. It was, yeah. So now here, my mom died and spend a lot of time with the nuns. I get to know my sister-in-law. She's in a wheelchair, and my priest would like, you, Miriam, are the only person I would trust. So that's how we became friends, and then I get to know her brother. I get married to him. So after I have my oldest, my first child, when my husband left, he lived in the United States, so he would come and go to Sudan. So after our marriage, he came to United States and he left me pregnant with our first child. So I started my own business. That my mom left farming land, and she left the house and she left some saving for me. So I used that and I started business. I sold her restaurant. I did very well on that. And then out of the sudden, my husband also went back to Sudan at that time. My son was crawling, and then I started receiving this phone call about family members that are looking for me. And then become from them to police, receive a phone call, have to go to the police station, question, this is your family and they want you back. And I'm like, that's why my mom always not wanted me to connect with you guys. So, and I find out they know where I live and everything. I'm like, why don't you guys come and lock my door? Because we know you're living a wrong life. So what do you mean? Because we know you go to church and you married to Christian. And I'm holding my son. I told the officer, I have a family of my own now. Why are they? That's not family. The family don't bring their daughter to police station. So he said, nope, this is their family and they wanted you to back. And they are right. The officer said they are right. Because if you're their daughter, your father's a Muslim, you're not supposed to be living this life. So you break too many laws. I said, really? I mean, like, who did I kill? Who did I hurt? So I'm like building a business that providing jobs for many people, including even like refugee people in that area. So like, no, you are committing adultery.
And you've been listening to Miriam Ibrahim share her story of life in Sudan before she came to America to live in Virginia. When we come back, more of this remarkable story here on Our American Stories.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we continue with Our American Stories and with Miriam Ibrahim's story. And so many millions of Americans end up at our shores suffering from some type of persecution, religious or otherwise. Let's pick up where we last left off with Miriam and her story.
So in September 2013, go in back to court every day, just question who you are. They say their name, Muslim name, and I say my Christian name, and I say I'm Christian. They said she's a Muslim. So the judge wanted me just to say, accept what they said. And, you know, I said, okay, you're Muslim, God with your family. I said, what's going to happen to my children, my child? At the time, I didn't know I was pregnant. So my child, we have to go to the orphan because he's a legitimate child. And then you're going to get flogged 100 lashes and go with your family. And on Christmas Eve of 2013, I was sent to jail because I responded. Like, you know, you can't respond as a girl, as a woman. You don't dare to open, to look at the judge's face or talk to him. You can't do that. So you just to be bowing your head down and covering your face, your hair, and just quiet, not even breathing. Like, you know, then even. So, and before I go to jail, I have to go through to do medical tests. And then including pregnancy. And I really wasn't prepared to have a second child at that time. Martin is young, but this trial started happening, and I don't think it was a good time. I mean, but God's have a different world. They said, you're pregnant. I'm like, what? I'm going to jail, getting a news that I'm pregnant. I'm supposed to be really happy. I was happy, but like, what? How? I mean, just, you know, I'm very confused and I'm very upset. I'm freaked out. So I was sent there, and there's other women. When I walk in, all this face bruises and so sad and horrible situation. I'm holding my son. So somehow Martin was long day. He just fell asleep, and I just closed my eyes. I said, let me pray. So in out of the sudden, I hear this deep voice. You are not alone. And I open my eyes, and I'm like, what did you say? Who you are? Where are you? I'm like, so the other women in the cell start laughing. And they call the office and say, I'm crazy. They put chains on my feet, chains, because my crime is in adultery and apostasy now. And I'm supposed to receive death sentence for apostasy and 100 lashes for adultery. But it didn't read the sentence. Give me 3 days, the judge. So I remember on the track back from court to prison, I was praying and I was like, okay, God, 3 days. And it just like, oh, Jonah was in the well for 3 days. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. This have to be miracle that you really have for me. And I'm just waiting for that miracle. We're back again to the end of the trial. I walk in, I was put up in the cage, and there's like 50 officers around the cage, big like it, and there's bench in there. The imam came in, and then the judge came in. He asked me to stand up, and he was very angry. The judge was very angry. So he asked me again, I'm gonna ask one more time. Are you Muslim or Christian? And he would say my Islamic name, Abrar. And I said, I'm a Christian. And I was always Christian. And I'll always be. So, because a lot of people really can see in their eyes, they wanted me to say what he said, really. Because death, you're going to die. But they don't see what I see. Like, they don't see what I see. Like, I see fear into his eyes. But that wasn't on me. That wasn't on my heart. And I do that moment really felt so bad for him to be in that position. And I just remembering that the word Jesus had said on the cross, that when he was crucified, Father, forgive them, for they did not know what they are doing. So I received my sentence that day. But the end of his word, because you are pregnant, and that was my miracle. Because you are pregnant, you're given 2 years. You give birth and nurse the child. I give birth 2 years and as a child, and then after the child turned 2 years, they took him to the orphan, and they held my execution. So my church is involved. That's how the Vatican get involved. And then my husband is a U.S. citizen, my children are a U.S. citizen. The first thing we start asking before we got sent to jail, we knocked the embassy's door and we asked for help. It just happened that day I was called into the office and I was told to bring all my items, my stuff. I wasn't even given a chance to say bye to the other inmates and the ladies I know. So I left prison. From prison, I was asked to go find a safe place because my house is no longer a safe place. And U.S. Embassy is almost like outside Khartoum city. So we stayed at the U.S. Embassy for a month. And then that night, just we've been called. I left Sudan to Italy. I said, they asked if I want to stay in Italy, and I really wanted to come to the state because that's what I feel. It's my children wear the earplug too. So, yeah, I was told to escape Sudan before during my trial and everything. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm not, you know, going to do that. That's why I was called crazy. I was called stupid. I'm not smart. I don't know how to, you know, to play well. But it just wasn't easy for me because my faith and my beliefs is not like a jacket or mask I would wear when I'm safe and then take off. It's the way I would live my life, the way I made a decision that knowing my relationship with God is not involved anyone else. It's between me and Him. That's the thing that my mom would teaches me always. She's telling me like, don't let anyone to put fear into your heart, because if it does happen, that's how they control you. I mean, you know, but fear and come control. With fear come control. So and God said, don't fear. And I know I wasn't afraid of the threat of the enemies of their. No matter how they try to think themselves are big and strong, but I see them weak. I see them terrorists. I see them, they use terror, they use fear, but I don't comply with that because not my life or my future or anything that is not in their hand, it's in God's hand. So, yeah, I'm here today. I'm in the United States. My children, Martin is 9 years old. From 9 months old in prison to 9 years old now. My daughter is 7. They love Jesus. They go to Catholic school. They serve Martin as an altar server at the church. Maya wants to do music when she gets her first communion. She's going to get her first communion on May. So she wants to do music ministry. And she loves to sing. She do ballet. She do Martin do basketball. They do karate. They're Cub Scout. I volunteer a lot on the community with the women's shelter. So they help me with stuff like that. They do a lot of good stuff.
And a terrific job on the production and storytelling by Greg. And a special thanks to Miriam Ibrahim for sharing her story, her family's story. The book is Shackled, One Woman's Dramatic Triumph Over Persecution, Gender Abuse, and a Death Sentence. And you can get it at your local bookstores or wherever you buy your books. What a trial scene this is. It's better than anything in the movies that I've seen, and I'm almost visualizing what this was like for her. To sit there and have to answer, are you a Muslim or a Christian? In America, we don't do that. George Washington wrote a letter to a synagogue in Rhode Island, assuring them religious bigotry would not be sanctioned in this country. And he wrote these words, "For happily, the government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance, requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens in giving it on all occasions their effectual support." And those words are true. It's why Miriam brought her family to the United States. A story of religious persecution, and in the end, a story of courage and triumph. Miriam Ibrahim's story, here on Our American Stories.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.